days of the church. And we see that. Look at verse 2. We'll read it again real quickly. I've been told I read too fast. I know, but you're looking at it too, right? We're reading it at the same time. Okay, and we've read it before. And the clock's ticking, right? Okay, verse number 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Sounds like a bunch of selfish men, right? And if the men are selfish, so are the women and the children. So are the women and the children. Selfish microphone, all right. Covetous, boasters. I'm not going to go through and define all this. I think we see enough of this in our own selves. We don't have to talk about it too much. Proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. If you're not doing good, you get mad at somebody else that is doing good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. Here's some descriptive words that, man, we could just spend all night on talking about, but we'll just say this: great words, adjectives that describe the last days of the church. Now let's ask a couple questions to ourselves, because sometimes if we ask ourselves a question, we can answer that question. It makes us look smart, okay? We're going to ask ourselves a question so we can try and learn together tonight during this Bible study. Let me ask the question: when have men not been lovers of their own selves? Now, history, I read about man, and are you a history buff? Do you read history books? I mean, we probably have history teachers here tonight, right, Brother Wiebe? Other people probably, all right? And what, this history full of men loving themselves, being covetous and boasters and proud and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, the Bible history is full of that, isn't it, talking about men? That's why we know man didn't write the Bible, because man wouldn't tell the truth on himself like that, amen? God wrote the Bible, and he used some penmen, he used some instruments, some human instruments, to give it to us, but man wouldn't tell the truth on himself like the Bible tells the truth about us and those that went before us. That's just common sense right there. The question stands: when have men not been lovers of their own self, ... Yeah, I was thinking about, I read a biography last year about a great billionaire. I mean, man, he had more billions than we have, most of us have thousands. I mean, he had a bunch of money. And he was in the computer industry and technology and all that, and you'd know who he was if I said his name. But anyway, one of the guys that worked for him, he was a computer expert also, you know. It takes one computer expert's got to employ a bunch of other computer experts to get something done. And this one fella, he was making a statement about the founder of this particular company. He says he would have made an excellent king of France. Now, do you get that? No, I guess you don't. That means he was a very self-absorbed, selfish person. King of France, if you've ever, you know, read about them or heard about them in history, that's what characterized them, okay? Very selfish, very spoiled, always wanted things their own way. And he was talking about this leader. I mean, this guy had more money than he knew what to do with, yet he was just a spoiled brat all grown up. And he would have made an excellent king of France. And you know what? That's not just indicative of 10 years ago or today or 100 years ago. You can find that wherever you find mankind. You can find selfishness and people promoting themselves front and center. Well, we could say it this way, and I would have a hard time arguing with you if you said that these things that are listed here in the passage are more prevalent today than they have ever been before. That'd be a hard argument not to agree with, except some would make the point, if you do study the history of mankind and study history periods like the fall of the Roman Empire, that the time period that we live in actually was rivaled as far as the wickedness and selfishness of man. Other eras, other time periods, categories in human history actually challenge the notion that we are living in the worst of times. But think about it. If men have always been characterized by these sins, like in verses 2, 3, and 4, then what would be the point of this passage in Scripture? Obviously, I think the answer is we got to move our thumb and keep reading. Just like every time you have a question in Scripture, you move your thumb, you keep reading, and lo and behold, you'll find the answer. You'll find exactly what God has for you. So let's do that again tonight. Let's see verse number 5. It talks about having a form of godliness. Now, this is getting even more specific. Yes, you can find us selfish folks. You can find them in all time periods of human history. You can find covetous people and blasphemous people and disobedient children and all the unthankful. You can find all that as you look at different parts of the history of mankind, even in the Old Testament, of course, in the New Testament, in modern times especially. You can find that. But now we're getting a little more specific. Maybe we're seeing that there's a point to this passage helping me and you identify the last days. How are we to know exactly? Well, here's an answer. You see in verse number 5 that there is a group that have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. And of course, the advice to Timothy here and others that read it is from such to turn away. Now, this is a specific group that Paul is identifying here. You know, the word godliness, you know, that obviously is a derivative or an enlargement upon the word godly. The word godly, we could even say, is a contraction for the word God-like, being like God. And when we say that, and when we see it in Scripture, we're talking about the true God, of course. The real God, not the false gods, not the little g god of this world that I often pause and take time to identify again. That's Satan, that's the prince of the power of the air, and all that kind of stuff that we talk about. But being God-like means being like God. So these people are trying to pretend. They're trying to put on a facade, a form of godliness, but it's not true, it's not real, because they deny the true power of godliness thereof. That's what we see here. Now, generally speaking, we could say it this way, for the most part, unsaved men have rarely claimed to be like God. Most of the time, where you find these people having a form of godliness, you find in what you call religious circles. You would find it in what some would call the professing church, or how they term it today, Christianity in general. So interesting to think about it that way. But some men, have you ever had an experience with a religious leader? Maybe one you knew personally, or one you knew from a distance. Hopefully you knew them from a distance, that they claimed to be like the God of the Bible. That as they got up and as they preached, no longer were they the man, the messenger boy preaching the word of God to you. All of a sudden they began to elevate to a point where they were trying to get in on the Godhead, so to speak, trying to make that triune God, whatever would come after three, and try a quadune God. Is that right? I don't know. All right. They're trying to exalt themselves above measure, thinking of themselves more highly than they ought to think, trying to make you think of themselves more highly than you ought to think. What does the Bible say about that? From such, turn away. Good advice, from such, turn away. We do find men in religious circles who have a form of godliness, but who deny the power of thereof. Now, here's the next question, okay? What is the power of godliness? What is the power of godliness? This is actually an easy answer, but sometimes we skip on through this, and that's really what my message is about tonight, and we're just getting to it right now. But to answer this question, what is the power of godliness? Let's just say it this way. The only power that can make a man like God is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 1:16 tells us, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Now, you have to be careful. I know all the religious preaching and teaching. I've heard lots of messages on you need to get the power of God. What are you talking about? Chapter and verse, please. Pray for hours, not minutes. Pray for days, and you'll have the power of God come down upon you. You'll have some experience that'll kind of put that exclamation point on it for you. And all of a sudden, then when you go out, people, you know, will be wilting under your shadow because you haven't bathed. Not because you haven't bathed, but because of the power of God. Now, that's humanism. No. The Bible tells me that this is the power of God. The Bible tells me that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the power of God. Get off this thing where men act like they have so much power. Those are great sensational stories and all that, but the problem is there's no foundation for it in the Word of God. You're not Elijah, okay? This is not the nation of Israel, and you're not a God called prophet, okay? if we're saved tonight, we're preachers as far as we preach the truth. We give out the good news. We are stewards of the mysteries of God. We're all that type of thing. Quit trying to have that Old Testament mindset. Just because you like the Mount Carmel and you'd like to get you a bunch of group together and you'd like to kill a bunch of them, yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's fine. We all have visions of that dancing in our head, I guess. I don't know, but yet that's not accurate for today. Learn from it, leave it, and move forward to what God has for you. I always like to talk about Elijah and how he made a non-profit organization out of the prophets of Baal. But anyway, we'll talk about that some other time. You know, the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. Most all religions teach that men should be like God. In fact, you got New Age and you got all this different stuff that say you'll become a God. I mean, to be honest, Mormonism has that in it, you know. I remember I watched when I was in this, probably just junior high school, probably when I watched it, maybe when I was in elementary school. I don't remember. I watched it a couple times about the God Makers. Remember that film, Brother Pitch? You probably showed it to us at least one of those times. And it gets down. It was a very well-made, and of course, that's a long time ago I watched it, but it was a very well-made documentary showing some of the teachings that of that particular cult, and I'm not picking on them. Any of us without the Lord Jesus Christ, we're in the same condition. We're lost, and we're going to have to answer for our sin and ourselves, okay? And that's a problem. And any religion that tries to make somebody think they can answer for their sin before God, that's a problem. That's deception, okay? That's a false gospel. But the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. Many religions, many isms and schisms and cults and false doctrines want to say they'll make you like God, but you understand that almost all of them deny the gospel of Christ? So how can they have the power of God if they're denying the source of the power? How can they claim to give you the power of God or to make you like God? Because if you start reading the scripture and you start digesting and you get your teeth of faith out and you start chewing on all that it means to be in Christ Jesus, what that means today and even what that means tomorrow and eternity yet to come, there's some awesome stuff about us reigning with Him and all the fullness of God's creation and how we're part of that fullness and lots of good stuff, our position, our eternity, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus that I've talked a lot about this year. That's great stuff. Yet religion's trying to shortcut you there. They're trying to get you through the back door, and there is no back door. That's an old gospel song. That might be an old spiritual. There's no back door to heaven. You got to go through the front gate, right? And it says my Bible. Amen. So we have to understand that any religion that does not preach the gospel of salvation by grace through faith alone. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 would be a good spot if we wanted to turn back to the left real quick, but you're probably familiar with that. For by grace are you saved through faith, right? And that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Nothing to boast about because God did the saving. It was God's gift, okay? All I had to do was receive it. All I had to do is accept it. All I had to do was believe what the Bible, what the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ told me. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's not my works. It's not that I earned it. It's not that I made up for the bad guy I was, and all of a sudden I'm a good guy now, and God says, okay, come on in. I'm glad to have you. No. It's because Jesus Christ is the good guy. He's the one that purchased my salvation and forgave my sins, and in Christ I can be accepted also. It's by grace through faith. The problem is religion denies the true gospel and then yet says, we have a form of godliness, try our form. Try this on for size. See how it fits. See if you like it. Turn over this new leaf in your life. And they deceive many people that way. But we can see how to identify here in the last days by knowing exactly what to look for. Churches. Church is plural, right? Churches. And I'll pause for a brief public service announcement. I don't believe this is the only right church in the world, okay? Some would listen to this message and say, only your church is the right church. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying a church that preaches the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the right church. A church that preaches the Bible, the Word of God, is the right church, okay? Any church that corrupts that, takes something away from it, adds to that, then I'm telling you that's not a right church. Doesn't matter whether I'm a member or not, it's you shine this light on it and you let this weigh. You let this discern what they are, okay? It'll call it truth or it'll call it error. The Bible will. It'll try the spirits and see if they're of God. We understand that. So after that public service announcement, there are plenty of churches today that deny the power of godliness. There are many, 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 many. I think that's what would make, that would be the identifier that jumps off the page at us tonight, that yes, we are in the last days, because I'd have to think there's more false churches than there's ever been before. Oh yeah, false religions as old as the Garden of Eden. Amen. But there's more of it today than there's ever been before. Think about it. Back in 2 Timothy 2:16, we're there, right? We're 2 Timothy 3, so we can look over to 2 Timothy 2. Look at verse 16. What's this older preacher's advice to this young preacher, Timothy? But shun profane and vain babblings, for they, profane and vain babblings, will increase unto more ungodliness. Okay? Interesting. This profane and vain babblings will increase unto more ungodliness. Where do vain and profane babblings come from? You know what I'll say? You know what I always do? I always look in the verse before it, the verse after it. You know, I look at verse number 15, and I see that ignoring what God says in verse 15 leads to profane and vain babblings, which then leads to increasing unto more ungodliness. What does 2 Timothy 2:15 say? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I remember when I was pastoring in Georgia, I had another preacher, a couple of preacher friends in Georgia, and I think it actually came from a preacher friend in Ohio down to the preacher friend in Georgia, and then to me through an email or something like that. Wonderful technology, dial-up probably even at the time, I can't remember. Okay, and it had to be better than dial-up probably, or I wouldn't have got it probably, but yet they sent me this little video clip of this preacher. He was out west, and he was a young guy, and he had a storefront. He started a church, and he was preaching on what would you say, and I'm not going to say it, what would you say, an inappropriate subject for the pulpit, okay? And it was funny in a sense, okay, and that's why it kind of made its little rounds. It was interesting. It's not a text you're going to take every Sunday morning for your visitor's sake and everybody else, and that's all I'm going to say about that. But I said, oh, that's interesting, you know. I looked, is this guy a King James guy, you know? Here I'm a young preacher, and I'm trying to learn the Bible, and I'm preaching the Bible. And I mean, when I was in Georgia, God really helped me a lot. I learned a lot, and not that I didn't learn before that, but I sure learned a lot in the time that God gave me in Georgia, and I'm very thankful for that, pastoring there. And I went, you know, I'm looking, I'm dinking around on his website, and I look, and he's supposed to be a King James Bible guy, and then he says underneath there, he says non-dispensational. That was one of the listings under who he was or describing his ministry. And I'm like, non-dispensational. And then, you know, as time kind of, you know, I just saw, well, I've never seen that listed before unless it's a Calvinist, you know, for the most part. And he's not claiming to be a Calvinist. And because, by the way, the furthest thing from a Calvinist is someone that practiced right division. Okay? I'll go ahead and tell you that tonight. Now, if you're a Calvinist, you know, let every man be persuaded in your own mind. I just try to believe the Bible the best I can. And a Calvinist, if you peel all the fancy words away and you get down to the what's left of the onion, when you get down to it, you'll see that they believe the church has replaced the nation of Israel. Okay, you cannot be a true Calvinist, you cannot be a good Calvinist, you can't be a bad Calvinist unless you believe the church has taken the place of the nation of Israel and that God is finished with Israel. Well, the only problem with that, if you want to call it a problem, is it makes about two-thirds of the Bible untrue. Is that a problem? That's why most Calvinists start going to the ancient languages and looking at different manuscripts, and they're really educated, they say, and all that kind of stuff, because you have to mess with the Word of God to come up with that type of theology. Okay? And that's something I was trained not to do, and I've learned to study, and I've learned that to be a Bible believer, then I need to learn to understand what God said. Because I can have an interpretation, and you can have an interpretation. All God's children can have interpretations, but there's only one interpretation that matters, and that's God's. That's the one that matters. So you know what I got to do? It don't matter what my opinion is. It doesn't matter where I might be leaning or swaying to. No, I got to find out, study, and find out what God actually meant when he said it. And then when I get done with my study, hopefully I can be an approved workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And so when I get up and try to preach and teach before you, my preaching will be somewhat sound. Oh, there'll be error because I'm the one preaching it, and this crooked stick sometimes doesn't hit a straight lick, but yet there'll be problems and there'll be misspeakings and all that kind of stuff, and a lot of funny jokes though, there'll be problems from time to time. Yet, if I'm preaching God's word, my preaching is sound. And it could be truth tonight, and 10 million years from tonight, it could still be truth. Now, if you're just preaching whatever you want to preach, if you're just preaching opinion or, you know, 10 steps to a better you and all that kind of stuff, your preaching goes out of style real fast. Oh, yeah. It goes out of style extremely fast, sometimes before you get through saying it. So the key here is to be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. How do I do that? Lord, can you give me a sign? Can you give me some special revelation here? I need to know how to be a workman that needeth not to be... Oh, okay. I keep reading. Rightly, sorry for the sarcasm, rightly dividing the word of truth. Right division. So when I say I'm non-dispensational, I'm saying I'm a non-Bible believer. That's what I say. Okay? If I say, you know, when I say that, you know, I'm a covenant theologian, or I believe in replacement theology, or if I believe in baptismal regeneration, or if I believe the Spirit sign gifts and the signs and wonders and the miracle ministry and all that stuff is still in operation today, just like it was in operation in times past, then you know what I am? I'm not a Bible believer. Because I keep trying to go back to preschool when God said, come on, come over here. Don't you see what I've taught you? Stay over here. Keep going forward. Go to college. Go to seminary. Why don't you graduate and do something? Quit trying to go back there. So you see, as an indicator, as an identifier, as a red flag, as a siren, that's a siren right there, as a siren, that warning, 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 danger, 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 peril, peril, pearl, pearl, pearl. If you see religion with these attributes. Now, what I want to talk to you about tonight is this idea, or not this idea, but this example, Old Testament example, that the Apostle Paul gave in verse number 8 and verse number 9. I don't have a... Well, I wanted to talk about verse number 6 too, but... Let's do that. Let's do, well, real quick, verse number 6. Men that prey upon others, and verse number 6, who's getting preyed upon? Silly women, simple women, easily deceived, being laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. You know, if you added an E to divers, that would be the word that we use more today, diverse. But divers is the right word, of course. That just means various different avenues and ways that they have been deceived or brought into this sin, or their natural desires have been catered to and they're being preyed upon. So you got religious leaders here having a form of godliness. You've seen it before where they take advantage of people. It might be for financial gain. It might be for all kinds of sin and debauchery. There's all kinds of bad things. I'm not going to talk too much about that, but they prey upon them, leading away all manners of lust. This verse is about the men. It's not about the silly women. This is about the men who have these, that prey upon these religious people, religious leaders who creep into the lives of religious people to satisfy them with a false gospel. The first thing that we hear about that creeps in the Bible is Genesis 3:14. You know what it was, don't you? It's a serpent, right? That's not good company to keep. Don't be a creep, and don't be creeps. Don't be creeping around. That's wrong. That's a characteristic of a religious leader. Verse 7, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Oh man, religious leaders have got all kinds of things they're going and they're putting before the people, and all these different programs and all these different seminars and all these different sessions and all the, you know, this about that and that about this, yet they're never coming to the knowledge of the truth. They're never preaching the gospel of Christ. Never preaching the grace of God. Never getting there. They never get there. This is a identifier, religious leaders in the last days of the church. That's what we see here, which brings us to some religious magicians. That's, we all like a magic show. I'm not going to talk about Mike Case. He's not one of these religious magicians. That's the problem here. Verse number 8. Now as Jannes and Jambres, he was Hispanic, just kidding, withstood, they were Egyptian, withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men as theirs also was. Let's talk about this just for a second. We just got a moment. You got Pharaoh's religious leaders. What happened when Moses and Aaron came before Pharaoh? Remember how God had given Moses a sign? That sign was evident to the nation of Israel. They knew that God had called him and that God had called, had chose him to, for a particular purpose, to lead his people out of Egypt and all that. Well, remember, as Moses and Aaron go before Pharaoh, they also tell him that God has called them to do this. You know the story. And they do a miracle. They worked a miracle before Pharaoh. Now, what happened? What did the religious magicians, what did Jannes and Jambres do? Did they say, oh, that wasn't a real miracle of God? They didn't say that. You know what they did? Instead of withstanding Moses, they tried to counterfeit his mighty works. Exodus chapter 7, verses 10 and 11. Remember how they had a snake, and Aaron had a snake with the staff, and they made snakes also? Remember that? Remember that? You remember, right? And the religious leaders in our day do the same thing. They resist the truth of God, yet they try to counterfeit it. In the dispensation of grace today, in this day and age, this church age that we live in, men of God aren't working miracles. They are preaching the gospel of Christ. That's where the power of God is sourced from. And they're teaching the doctrines of the Word of God. And in response, Satan's ministers, and he has them, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, they're preaching another Jesus. They're teaching the doctrines of devils, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1. It's interesting to understand that Paul says that men that are willing to teach the doctrines of devils, that they're doing it by seducing spirits. So they do have spiritual power backing them. It's just from the wrong source. It's a form of godliness. Well, Satan's a god, but he's not the true God. He's not the Most High God. He's not the God of the Bible. He's not the God of your salvation. So there is spiritual entities at work. You can go to different miracle-making, working, talking places, and you can see some stuff that might seem more than you could explain with your natural eye or your human understanding, but don't kid yourself for a moment. Just like Satan had the ability to afflict Job in the Old Testament, he has the ability to afflict or rescind that affliction today. He has that ability, and hit that spiritual realm does too. And I'm not going to talk about all that except to look at Jannes and Jambres. It's interesting that the Bible says in verse number 9 that the folly of religious leaders today that have a form of godliness but deny the power, the true God, they deny the power thereof, it says, they shall proceed no further for their folly. Folly is kin to fool. It's kin to foolishness. That their folly, in verse number 9, shall be manifest unto all men as Jannes and Jambres was also. Remember what happened with the story back in Exodus chapter 7? Remember what happened? Their little gods, their false spiritual power was made manifest before Pharaoh and all in Egypt at that time when Aaron smote the dust of the earth and it became lice. And the magicians, the Bible said, could not. They could not duplicate that particular miracle. I believe it's the reference for that is in Exodus chapter 8, verses 17 and 18. So when these false religious leaders, Jannes and Jambres, could not create life out of the dust of the earth like God can, and I thought that was interesting. Think about it. And they could not create life out of the dust of the earth like we know God did originally with Adam. And we know that God did through Aaron at this time. They said to Pharaoh, Jannes and Jambres did, "This is the finger of God." That's what their words were. Exodus chapter 8 and verse number 19. So interesting to me, the folly of the false teachers to whom Paul is comparing the magicians is that the gospel they are preaching cannot produce eternal life like the true gospel can. Just like they couldn't make life out of the dust of the earth, they couldn't create something. No creative power there, no life being able to be made there, just like they couldn't do that. The religious leaders today that have a form of godliness but deny the power of, their gospel can't produce life either. Can't forgive any sins, can't save any souls, can't see someone's eternal address change from hell into heaven. The lesson for us tonight, and then the lesson's over, is that the power source is what needs to be emphasized. And speaking of me, and I'm going to say we're just the messenger boys. That's what we are. Thank God we got the message, amen? Because it's the power of God unto salvation. It'll save anybody that's alive on the face of the earth right this moment. Did you know that? If they'll simply turn to Jesus Christ, if they'll simply believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, if they'll accept what Christ has done for them, his finished work, his death, his burial, his resurrection, if they'll just accept it, believe, receive it. Yet, how many other churches, maybe tonight or other nights of the week or the first day of the week, they're going to be preaching some other gospel that deceives, just like serpent deceived Eve in the Garden of Eden. His ministry continues today as religious leaders, as churches today. What the world and many believers recognize as Christianity stand up and they preach a false gospel that can't save themselves or nobody else. It's the power source, got to be hooked up. Hey, you can have a great flashlight. You can have one of them flashlights that costs a lot of money. But if it don't have a battery, if it don't have a power source, it doesn't do you any good, does it?